music. Subject: International Rescue.
Now we're sitting on the biggest bomb man's ever made.
Alert the World Aquanaut Security Patrol.
Sam Logan and Joe 90, airborne, over.
Interceptors, immediate launch.
You're fired.
Captain Scarlet is now indestructible.
September 13th.
I'm Jack.
And I'm Catherine.
And welcome to the Operation Andathon podcast.
Woo!
Woo, something a bit new from the Security Hazard blog. We're always trying to come up with new and weird and wonderful ideas to talk about all things Gerry Anderson. This is something that we've been thinking up for a little while now, something that would be fun to do. We're married, by the way. It's like, didn't provide any context whatsoever as to who we are and how we know each other. We're married. We've been married for just over 3 years now. And basically, I'm a massive Gerry Anderson fan, as anyone who reads the Security Hazard blog will know.
That's
you know,
probably why you're here.
Yeah. You know, for those of you who don't know, Gerry Anderson created shows like Thunderbird, Stingray, Captain Scarlet, Space 1999, UFO, all of those wonderful shows, which I very much enjoyed from my childhood. Growing up in the early 2000s, there was a big resurgence of all things Gerry Anderson, and that had also been going on in the 90s as well, and so I just grew up at just the right time to kind of catch all of this stuff, and I started with Thunderbirds, and it kind of grew and escalated from there, and some might say I never really grew up. So that was obviously my experience growing up in the UK. Catherine is American.
Yes.
And the shows didn't really, I mean, they were shown here, and they're still actually kind of every so often pop up on TV, in the US every so often, but not nearly as famous as they are in the UK, are they?
No. I'd never heard of any of them until I met you.
Yeah. And obviously, being the big fan I am, it's kind of difficult to avoid. We're currently sat in my office next to my ridiculous collection of lots of Thunderbirds toys and models and all that sort of thing. How does that make you feel to sit and look at it and think, what on earth is all this? I mean, really, what do you think of it?
I mean, it's quite a large collection that you've got going on here. I mean, it very much takes up this entire room. From the time that we sort of decided to get married and everything, it was always known that Jack desperately wanted a room to put all of his things in, and he got it a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
So that was a happy day. But yes, it's, I mean, I know what most of it is now.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I can look at something and be like, oh, I'll at least have a good guess at what show it's from.
Okay.
And I've been around for the acquisition of a significant amount of it, but still not that much.
Yes, but yeah, so you from just from the act of living with me, for some reason you chose to do that, you've kind of absorbed some Gerry Anderson knowledge, but you by no means say you were an expert.
That's for sure.
Right.
mean, I did go through a certain amount of training prior to attending AnderCon 2015.
Yes.
I did. I did go to that as sort of a, oh, I don't want to be left out of everything. And I have elected since then to not go to any conventions. It's not my thing, but I did have a certain amount of training, so I wouldn't sound like a complete idiot to everyone.
Yeah, so you watched a fair number of shows, but that was about four years ago now.
Yes.
So
yeah, oh my gosh, 4 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. So what
we're not even married yet.
So what we're
commitment.
Doing... Yes. So what we're going to be doing with this podcast is, every week, we will be randomly selecting from a jar of possibilities the pilot episode, or the first episode, or sometimes just a standalone pilot from every Gerry Anderson series that is available. This is not including the feature films, so there will be no Crossroads to Crime, no Thunderbirds I'll Go, no Thunderbirds 6, no Doppelganger, and no GFI, because that's not available to anyone. It's a big secret. Apparently it's really terrible.
Firestorm in there?
Firestorm is not in there, okay. No, because
well, that's another notable.
That's not in there yet. But when it comes to a full series, if that happens while we're still recording the podcast,
maybe
we'll add it as something. But yeah, no, it's only because Firestorm was such a short.
Yes, it was thing. Just a little mini set.
But
thing.
We actually got a chance to visit the set, both of us, while they were filming the minisode, and that was very exciting. Mm-hmm.
The puppets and everything.
Yeah, we saw all the puppets being worked. It was kind of a quiet day in between doing big shots, so we got to see them set up. Big sets and things like that.
A little bit of filming as well.
Anyway, yeah, that's just a side tangent. But anyway, so in total we have 22 different options in here. And the idea is that Catherine will pull out 3 at random and open them and read them. And then she has to select one of those to actually watch this week. And then once it's been watched, it'll be discarded and the other options will go back into the jar. So there's a tasty combination of random selection, but also Catherine must make a choice. And I know that there are certain things that she would probably rather spend her time watching than others. Just as a taster of what your interests are exactly, what can people expect you to be in favour of versus possibly saying, nah, not so keen on that?
Well, what comes to mind immediately are not enjoying UFO or Space 1999.
Ooh. Why?
Sorry.
Why?
I haven't seen a ton of them, but I don't feel like they're very engaging. Like, okay. You know, I couldn't tell you a single character's name at all. I really couldn't. So, yes, those are going to be lower on my list. Not necessarily because they're live action. Like, I quite like oh, I forget the name of it now. The one with Stanley Unwin.
Oh, the Secret Service.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a mixture of Supermarination and live action. But yeah,
it does have live. So it's not just like
it's not just
live
that you're
action.
Interested in puppets
no.
and nothing else. Yeah, okay.
But then things that I do like immediately come to mind: Terra Hawks, and I also enjoy. Oh my gosh, why can't I think
you
of
love it
of
so
it?
Much you can't remember the name of it.
But that one.
Oh, Dick Spanner.
Yes, I just bought into a little Dick Spanner figurine that Jack had.
So,
<That one.
laughs> so immediately what I'm thinking then is you like the more humorous stuff, the slightly offbeat, weird stuff, rather than the very straight-laced.
Yes, I think I like things that don't take themselves too seriously.
Okay, that'll be interesting, because I would say, on the whole, a lot of Gerry Anderson fans would go completely the other way and say that when things started to get too silly, people lost interest in it. I would also disagree. I'm going to preface this by saying that there's nothing that I don't like. There are just certain things I like more than others, but there's nothing I would say that was a bad show. That never should have been made sort of thing. As any fans do turn around and say that sort of thing of, oh, that was a complete waste of time. But no, anyway, as well as having the 22 different options in this jar, there are also some lifelines. Ooh, yes. So inside are 5 little models of each Thunderbird craft. And at certain points, Catherine can select those. She can only use each one once throughout the series. So once she's used it, it's gone. But let me explain what those are now. Thunderbird 1 means that you can, after pulling out 3 options, you can swap one of those options for something else in the jar. Okay.
Mm.
Thunderbird 2 means that instead of after making your selection of what show you want to watch, if you choose the Thunderbird 2 lifeline, you can watch episode 2 of the selected series instead of episode 1. That may work out for you, depending on.
I don't have much knowledge in terms of what episode 2 would be compared to what episode 1 would be.
For example, because we discussed before doing this, as someone who's been surrounded by Gerry Anderson fans on a number of occasions, you've seen Trapped in the Sky a few times. So if you wanted a bit of variation, and people who've read my Thunderbirds reviews will know what I think of episode 2 of Thunderbirds, Pit of Peril, but you may prefer that as a different option. Thunderbird 3, the next lifeline, means that you can swap all three options that come out of the jar for different ones.
Okay.
What's Thunderbird 4? I cannot remember what Thunderbird 4 is. Thunderbird 4, I know this one now. Thunderbird 4 means that having picked out three options, you can pick out an extra fourth one to choose between. So you may end up pulling out an extra option that you like, or you may go, oh, that was a complete waste of time, I'll just go with one of the original three. And then Thunderbird 5 is a rather special one that we've arranged. It's called Call Chloe. Chloe is a three-year-old Labrador mix. Because we had no one better to ask. The idea is that, say that Catherine picks out three selections, and she's not really sure about any of them, but doesn't want to use any of her other lifelines, we will lay those three options out on the floor with a treat.
Equal
distance apart. And our dog, Chloe, our beloved, will, whichever one she walks to first, that's what we will watch.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep, sounds good. Okay.
I think the entire show should be run this way.
Yeah, well, let the dog run everything, yeah. So I think that roughly explains everything that we're doing. I'm sure other things will come up that we're completely forgetting to mention about this entire weird and wonderful format that we've come up with.
So we're going to pick it out, watch it, and then...
then we'll come back to you and we're going to chat about it. We're going to see what Catherine thought of it, what she did like, what she didn't like. In the case of... because we got some obscure, like, pilot episodes in there. We're going to see whether she thinks those should have been a full series or not, or whether certain changes should have been made. We're going to see which characters she likes, which ones she didn't like, blah, 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 that kind of thing. We're just going to have a general chat about it, and we'll see, from an outsider's perspective, what these shows, how these shows come across to Catherine. And if other people agree with you, then that's great. I'm very interested to see what controversial things you're going to say.
You think that I'm going to have some unpopular opinions?
That's fine.
Because I don't
have
the nostalgia with it that others
have. Exactly. But it's interesting to view it from that perspective of how much of it really is just rose-tinted glasses. So I think that's it. It's time to make a selection.
Okay, are these well mixed already?
These are very well mixed. Okay. But just to give you... those are the sounds of Thunderbird models rattling around in it. If you're interested, the Thunderbirds models are little toys from the 90s that were given away in crackers, Christmas crackers. At least Thunderbirds 1 to 4 are. Thunderbird 5 is a little pin badge that I acquired, just if anyone's interested in that.
They're in like a little jam jar.
So pick out three. And then open them up. I think that's three. There may be more than there, but open three of them.
Three.
Okay, all right. Well, tell us what they are.
So number one is... it's funny, I picked this one out the other day. New Captain Scarlet, Instrument of Destruction, Parts 1 and 2 from 2005.
Yes.
Selection number two is Space Police Star Laws, the 1986 unbroadcast...
The pilot.
Pilot, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm just reading what it says. I don't know what he means. And Four Feather Falls, How It All Began from 1960.
Ooh. There's a selection. I know what I would pick. What are you going to choose?
Well, one of the things that Jack knows about me and mentioned yesterday and the day before when we were talking about this is that I tend to go with the things I like least and save the things I like most for later. Obviously, in this case, that is somewhat of a... I mean, there are certain pilots I will have seen before, but plenty of them I haven't.
The agony of choice. This is interesting. Nothing... I mean, instruments of... new Captain Scarlet is... fairly mainstream, but none of these are like Thunderbirds, Captain's Garden, you know, really hardcore, like, essential Gerry Anderson viewing. So this will be really interesting. But also, you've got extremely old and extremely new.
Yes.
So, what are you going to choose?
Yes, we do. I think I'm going to go with new Captain Scarlet.
Interesting place to start. Let's see how it goes. Now, this will be interesting because, actually, new Captain Scarlet was the first new Gerry Anderson series that I ever saw. So we're going to have some interesting things to talk about with this. So we're going to go away and put in the new Captain Scarlet Blu-ray. And we're going to watch episodes one, technically episodes one and two, because Instruments of Destruction comes in two parts, and I thought it would make sense to watch both. So we're going to go ahead and watch that, and we'll be right back with our comments.
Based on the original Super Marionation series, Gerry Anderson's New Captain Scarlet debuted in 2005 and was produced entirely using CGI and motion capture, a technique coined as Hyper Marionation. Captain Scarlet stars as the indestructible champion of Spectrum, an organization which combats an alien menace from the planet Mars known as the Mysterons. New Captain Scarlet was an ambitious and expensive series which developed the characters of the Super Marionation series and upgraded all of the vehicles and technology to more realistically capture the world of tomorrow. The series infamously suffered from poor scheduling and never became the runaway success that it could have been. But what will Jack and Catherine make of it all?
So that was New Captain Scarlet.
Yay.
Instrument of Destruction parts 1 and 2.
Yes.
What did you think?
I have some thoughts.
Interesting.
It's, I mean, overall, it was okay. It's been a very long time since I saw the first episode of Captain Scarlet. Like,
see, this is the interesting thing, and I'm actually glad that we've done it this way round, because so often any talk about new Captain Scarlet is how does it compare to the original Captain Scarlet?
Yeah.
So I feel like us watching it first, I mean, as you say, you can kind of remember what the first episode of the original series was like.
I mean, I remember the basic plot points, okay, which are very similar to this.
Yeah.
But I can't remember if it has the same problem in terms of there's no explanation as to, like, why Captain Scarlet is suddenly indestructible versus just dead.
Right.
Like, they're just like, yep, this is a thing now.
So, you're right. In neither series is the exact reasoning behind it covered. I mean, basically, Mysterons themselves are indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, because Captain Scarlet was Mysteronized, he retained that property. Now, in the new series, it's kind of expanded on just a tiny bit more about how he, you know, comes back to life and all of that sort of thing. In the original series, it's literally he falls off a tower and magically he wakes up at the end of the episode and there's no explanation as to how that happens or anything like that. But no, I'm interested to try and not talk to, like, I could ask you so many questions about, oh, how did this compare to the original series? But you don't really know slash care about any of that. So it's nice to be able to talk about New Captain Scarlet as its own entity. So what do you think about the general premise of Mysterons on Mars taking revenge on the Earth because Scarlet and Black
are idiots?
Well,
I thought it was interesting how, yeah, I mean, it, like, you definitely feel for the Mysterons. I think you should, like, not that you're supposed to, but you kind of should as a human being. Like, they didn't do anything wrong.
Exactly.
Well, not that we know of. I mean, obviously they could have been. We have no idea, though. They never go into that.
Made very clear in the original series is that the Mysterons are just surveying the vehicle as it comes over the horizon. Like, they're just looking at it. They're not going to open fire. They literally say, we must welcome them.
Yeah.
Not made so clear in New Captain Scarlet, but yeah. What did you think of the Mysteron city? The design? The design in general. Like, how do you think it looked as a vision of the future?
I thought it was interesting, and it kind of goes along with the story of, like, that it's invisible at first.
Right.
I'm not sure why it would show itself to them when, like, clearly they've already been watching Earth because they already have this preconceived notion that Earthlings are very, like, violent and geared towards violence and, like, internally, which clearly happens. And I felt like in the second part of this pilot, in the part where the vampire jets. When all of a sudden they're just, like, not responding, and everyone sort of... I mean, I know they have more reason to immediately assume this is negative now, but I kind of feel like that could have been a test. Like, let's just not say anything and see if they're going to keep attacking us. And again, there's obviously a lot more reason this sort of second time around, because they're already being attacked and everything. Like, I mean, I think most people would respond the same way the second time, but it did sort of echo back to the first time somewhat of... Yeah, like, are you really just going to continue making choices based on fear, basically?
So you're saying the Mistrals gave us, humans, the opportunity to prove ourselves multiple times?
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I had never thought of it that way.
Like, besides just the fact that, like, clearly something's not quite right, there's nothing to really make you think that, like, oh my gosh, they're about to come and kill everybody, like... They're not doing anything particularly wrong. They're just not responding.
They just happen to have very, like... big, deep, evil voices.
Well, they don't just say anything. And so they're just like, all right, angels, go on out there and kill everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it could just be the communication dropped or something, but let's go ahead and just shoot them out of the sky. I mean, obviously they get attacked once the angels go out, but clearly at that point, the humans have made a decision also that, like, you know, they're not going out to say hello and make sure everything's okay. They're going out to kill you.
So with all these big themes, big serious themes that we're discussing, who do you think this show is aimed at?
I mean, someone dies.
Quite a few people die, I think.
Well, yeah, but like, directly, I was like...
A man gets crushed in a car.
Yes, he does. Yes. Yeah, and that... part as well, really. They really try to keep it quite, like, black and white about who's, like, good and who's bad. Like, the guy who gets crushed doesn't really do anything wrong besides complaining that his car is a bit late, and I think somehow we're supposed to feel like he deserves to get crushed in a car. It's a terrible way to go. But something I feel like I've never heard before, and it was really funny because I didn't really know any of the characters' names besides, obviously, like, Captain Scarlet and Captain Blue and Captain Black and everything. I knew the angels' names, you know, Harmony and Rhapsody and all that. Why did the women get such, like, interesting names and the men get names like Adam and Paul?
Well, so actually those aren't their names. Those are also code names. That's not
the
real
names.
They
have multiple levels of code names?
It's pretty simple. The angels are named one thing and the captains are all named something else. But...
Well, the show clearly has an issue with women as well. With the exception of... is it Lieutenant Green?
Lieutenant Green, yeah.
Yes, I mean, she doesn't do much, but at least she doesn't make a bit of a fool of herself, like, harm?
Not Destiny.
Destiny, like... She's just at the UN, and she just kind of flips out at the guy who's just like, oh, I'll give you guys more ships. And she's like, we don't need your freaking ships. And it's like, whoa, girl. He didn't say, hey, let's take all these women out and replace them with men, which is clearly how she took it. That's literally not what he said. You're, like, so overreacting. And then it's immediately followed up by her not being able to shoot her love. And then her being like, I'm a terrible person. I shouldn't be here anymore.
And so just... you didn't sympathize with Destiny's arc over the course of these two episodes.
I mean,
at all.
I feel for her in the sense that, like, yeah, obviously, like, seeing the person you love come back from the dead would be pretty jarring experience. But her flipping out at the UN, got the general UN was, like, really just, like, a super overreaction. Like, she took it from, like, 1 to 10 real quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, after that, like, I think she could be forgiven for not shooting him or whatever. Like, that's human nature. Yeah. But she certainly takes it really hard to herself. Like, she verbally is, like, really unhappy with herself, which I feel like is how
we're supposed to feel as the audience watching her, like, right. What an idiot for not choosing him. I feel like the show has an interesting relationship.
It is
women,
interesting.
Like many Gerry Anderson shows.
Well, obviously, a lot of them obviously suffer from just being made in a certain yes. time. Like, obviously, and it's in, obviously, the general comparison is obviously that the original series, yeah, not great for women. I mean, obviously, at the time, was good for women in the sense that you never would have seen a team of exclusively female fighter pilots.
I see the
in
efforts,
the original series.
And then I see where sort of they think they're doing
there
the
was
right
still
thing
a little bit further
let
to go.
Down females as a gender.
Okay. That's interesting. Because yeah, people would generally say, well, New Captain Scarlet is a little more advanced in its portrayal of
yes,
women.
Yes,
because
they
but...
made Lieutenant Green into a woman.
I was curious to see if you'd even comment on that or even notice it.
I did remember that.
You remembered that it happened, but it doesn't make any difference in terms of... I mean, I think that this version of Lieutenant Green, much like all the characters, really, is just a lot more fleshed out and dynamic compared to the original series.
You know what I would have loved to see, along with the efforts to make or to bring women into the... lieutenants and captains and stuff on
right.
like is to see a man in the
angels.
Yeah. Mm. Like just come like it's not
this
just
makes
a
it
female
all
only role. It doesn't have to be male only. Why can't we just have people everywhere? And maybe Lieutenant Captain who White.
Colonel White. Yeah.
Colonel White. Maybe that could have been a woman, you know?
Yeah.
Spread the love.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, God knows, she probably would have made a lot of terrible decisions if she hadn't done as a woman in the show. And can we also talk about how Captain Blue is, like, definitely the MVP of this show, and Captain Scarlet should not be considered the main character.
Interesting.
He's clearly supposed to be the main character, but he makes a lot of really terrible decisions and clearly feels like he is the smartest person in the room when he's not. Like, he just, like, keeps shoving poor Captain Blue. First, like, trapping him in a cell that he was in a second ago after Captain Blue, like, just goes into talk to him or so, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. But he just, like, suddenly attacks him and you're like, oh, he must be a Mysteron. It's like, no, that's actually just Captain Scarlet being Captain Scarlet. And then he, like, attacks him with a stun gun in a vehicle rather than just clearly
just
explaining, like, hey, I've got an idea. How about we just, you know, lead them into the middle of the ice rink or whatever, on the lake or the frozen lake or whatever. Like, let's just use our words.
Interesting. Because I would say, generally speaking, actually, again, I can't help but go back to the original series and say that a lot of people, certainly at least within my circle of friends, like Captain Blue more than Scarlet. They consider him the more intelligent, more
heroic
figure. Like... yeah, because it's easy being indestructible in a way.
He's a freaking idiot. Like, he's just so stubborn and just like refuses to literally just use his words.
Yeah.
Like, just explain what you're thinking, what you've seen, like... everyone knows that he just had this whole Mysteron experience. That's why he's locked away. So why not just explain? Why does he have to be the one to go and, like, figure out what's going on? Why can't he just stay in his cell and let someone else do the work? Like, he just makes a lot of really selfish decisions.
So, going back to my original question.
I don't even remember anymore.
It was talking about the mature adult themes, and who do you think this was kind of aimed at?
I mean, well, clearly by the style and, like, I have some knowledge of when it was actually aired.
Oh, you know
what
happened.
I mean, I think it is aimed at kids, really. Like, you're supposed to make smart, mature decisions and
right. So it's interesting because obviously what I'm sure everyone knows about New Captain Scarlet was it ended up being broadcast as part of the Ministry of Mayhem, a kids' TV slot. Around about, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. And you know, famously they cut the episode in half and didn't advertise when it was going to be on, and it was on at random times and things would pop up on the screen, and it was just generally, I mean, the word that is thrown around is butchered. Now, would you think that this show really works as a Saturday morning cartoon
see how it would. Like, I feel like it's got enough mature themes that adults could sit down and enjoy. I mean, we are adults as well, barely. Adults could sit down and enjoy it when they're kind of making breakfast or kind of getting ready for the weekend or whatever. So I can see how it could be a good little kind of family show to have on Saturday mornings. That's I don't think you would, at least if I were not parents, but if I was a parent and I had a little kid who wanted to watch something like this, I wouldn't probably want it too close to bedtime because it's a little bit kind of scary.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
It could make them a little bit more rambunctious versus having it on Saturday morning when they're probably going to be rambunctious anyway.
That's interesting because the comparison that people make, because it came out literally 2 months before, it came out just before the Doctor Who reboot, and that was on at 7 o'clock on Saturday evenings, as Doctor Who had traditionally been on at that time. And indeed, previous Gerry Anderson shows had also been in that time slot. And people generally considered that to be good family viewing, again, to watch at tea time. But
a different conversation about Doctor Who, though. I think, I totally understand how Doctor Who was initially meant to be aimed towards children when it was first released. But I think with New Who, they still sort of say it's aimed at the same people, but it's not really.
Right. You're saying that adults could appreciate New Captain Scarlet as well, but...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you'd, like, sit down and, watch it with your kids in the same way you would, like, Doctor Who.
Right.
But, if you were to have, like, would I rather have that versus SpongeBob on the background in the morning? I'd probably rather have New Captain Scarlet on the background.
Well,
especially with how some of the kids' TV shows nowadays are. I mean, they were a little bit better back then, I say, because I was a child then. at least that's my memory of it. But yeah, I mean, I think it could have probably done okay in the evening. But also if you put it too late in the evening, sort of, I mean, it is made for rarely youngish children. I mean, they don't show...
Really?
I think
Someone gets crushed in a car.
They don't show them. They just show a car being crushed.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
If you showed someone being, like, shot up and stuff, then yeah, I would agree. That is definitely for a more mature audience, and maybe it does go there, so I'm only obviously basing this off the first two parts, but...
I will say there's certainly one particular episode, Touch of the Reaper, which is quite graphic. I mean, you don't see blood, but you see people developing horrible skin conditions, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the other big death is obviously Captain Scarlet himself, but he just, like, there's a couple of cuts that get healed really quickly, but it's not graphic. You don't hear, like, bones crunching or something really morbid like that. Like, he just sort of falls and he goes through this thing and, it's this, like, ray of whatever is supposed to be energy, I guess, but it's not, like,
it's not too graphic.
No,
okay.
I think you could let, like, a pretty young kid watch it and not, be too concerned. There's obviously no language or anything like that being used either.
No.
And I think if you sort of steered them to gear their life and values towards Captain Blue instead of Captain Scarlet, you might be on the right track there.
Okay, so what did you think of the CGI, the animation?
I know it gets better later on because I have seen some later episodes. It's been a while, I don't remember them, but I know it looks a bit better later on.
Okay, yeah,
it's a bit rough.
They rebuilt the animation studio pretty much from the, well, not from the ground up, literally, but, they got in a new CG producer, guy called Ron Thornton, who basically turned around and said, we need to change everything about how this show's being made. So you think it's okay? Bear in mind, 2005, trying to think what movies were coming out at that time. The Incredibles. I'm actually thinking about when they were making it, trying to go for a
much more realistic, like, the faces have a lot of details and, like, the hair and everything, considering the time and the limitations and stuff. And obviously, I'm sure the financial limitations, I don't think it's really fair to compare New Captain Scarlet to The Incredibles.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, there was only a couple little bits where it's like something would look totally off, like when the guy's in the back of the car, one of his I think it's like when you're looking at the screen, the left side,
of his like his jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, it like just sort of stays in place and his head moves around and it literally never moves at all. And then when Captain Scarlet, this whole scene with Captain Scarlet changing clothes like three times as he escapes from his cell, and then he changes clothes so many times. Jack was looking so confused. I was like, no, this is real. He changes clothes like three times, seemingly with like no time and in a big rush. And
that's nothing new though. That's every Jerry Anderson series it's has quick costume changes.
I was like, why did he change his clothes if he's about to get into a, you know, Angel's vehicle? But then he decides not to, and he just jumps out of the spacecraft or, you know, whatever.
Skybase. Yeah.
So then it was like, okay, that makes more sense. And then he gets in a car and he's suddenly dressed again.
That's true. He does change. Yes, he does change when he gets into the cheetah. Yeah, you're right.
But, oh my goodness. When I was going to a second ago, that was the other time that I noticed the CGI was a little bit funny. It was actually after Captain Scarlet jumps out and he's flying through the air. There's a part where like the angle of his butt is very much not a real angle. I was like, wait, what? It's very like pointy.
I'm glad that's what you're paying close attention to.
You can barely see it, but I just thought it was funny.
I never thought this podcast would go to that. Okay,
talking about Captain Scarlet's butt.
Yeah, I mean, I know we were talking about getting a new perspective, but so that's something else. Okay.
No, it's just, you know, when you look at a picture and something's clearly not quite right, you kind of know. I wasn't actually clearly trying to look at it.
That's what I was interested to see. Because this was sort of, we very recently got this Blu-ray set, which shows it in high definition for sort of the first time. And I was interested to see, because obviously I know that the animation is a little rougher in the first two episodes, but yeah, I was curious to see what a relative novice to it would think of it.
Yeah,
so
it's
interesting
rough
that you picked up on that. To me it's sort of, if you were to do it now, it would look like a sort of a fairly low budget video game now, which is really harsh to say, but it just kind of shows how far the technology has come. Because at the time, I remember as a kid watching it thinking it looked amazing. And but again, when your focus is on the vehicles, which we'll talk about in a second, you know, that stuff is all really well rendered. But the problem was, and this was a problem with the production in general, was the schedule was just so punishing of having to create all of this stuff in the computer on a schedule for TV and on a budget for TV. So you're right. It's unfair to compare it to any of the like Pixar movies that were coming out at the time, because it's just two totally different landscapes in terms of how TV is made versus film.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the vehicles. What did you think of the vehicles?
I mean, I'm going to be very boring when it comes to vehicles, because I'm not particularly...
You're not attached to it. It's
I'm not particularly
like...
into cars or boats or any sort of transportation vehicle.
Well, in terms of the design of the whole series though, like, did you think it was a credible version of what the near future would look like, you
think? I think most things were fairly based off of like things we already have, but then obviously kind of making them more futuristic. You know, like those like various versions of sort of like motorcycles and cars, and they've got sort of this like giant Russian tank thing going on, which you're like, yep, that could happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, some of them were cool. I like when Captain Blue was sort of on a motorcycle, but it had this like extra flying bit that was flying
the stallion
down.
Raid bike.
And I sort of especially like that it wasn't just a part of the motorcycle, it sort of flew off to do its own thing, and you're like, where is it going now?
So
where did it come from?
What's interesting about that vehicle particularly is that there's nothing like it in the original series. That was a completely new invention. And that's what I like. Me personally, I love the redesigns on all the vehicles, and the fact that they're only loosely connected. I mean, I'm looking behind Catherine's head right now. I have all the toys from the original series. And, you know, you can see comparisons between the SPV and the Rhino. But really, although they're vehicles that serve the same function, they're basically completely different designs. And I think that's what New Captain Scarlet as a whole, really, for me, that's what it... that's why it does so well, is because... Despite the fact it's called New Captain Scarlet, which is an odd title for something, it is really stands out as its own show, I think. I don't think you need to have much nostalgia for the original series to appreciate it.
Well, especially because they go back and do the whole beginning of it again.
Right, you know, and they change like... bits of it, you know. like, originally, in the original episode, The Mysterons, it's Captain Black and just two random guys who go to Mars. Scarlet's not there at all. Mm. I think the fact they went back and changed that and very much made it Scarlet and Black together on Mars was made it much more significant and important as a moment. And it kind of brought those characters together more. And yes. Yeah, there were just certain really, I feel at least, really smart decisions that were made. Someone really sat down and thought about how they were going to borrow elements from the original episode, but very much changed the rest of it. And as a kid at 10 years old, when I was watching it, I thought it was great. I wasn't concerned at all that things had been changed. I wasn't outraged by anything like that at all. As I say, we shouldn't be comparing it. I know, it's really difficult not to compare the two shows and base all of New Captain Scarlet's merits purely on what it does or doesn't do from the original series. So yeah, there you go. What did you think about it being told over, the story being told over two parts?
It worked okay. They both sort of have, like, their own problem that they're trying to solve. Obviously, it's kind of an overall
they kind of stand
problem.
Alone well enough on their own.
Yeah, but... they're okay. Although the first part very much, obviously, it could be standalone really by itself. But the second part, I thought it was interesting that we're sort of entered into the episode with Captain Black stealing this sort of capsule from a lab or wherever we are. I assume it's some sort of lab. Mm-hmm. And then he blows it up. And then later on in the episode, after he's captured Captain Scarlet, he, they're sort of sitting amongst all these explosives. All of a sudden, it's sort of assumed that we knew that's what he was getting the whole time. I don't know if I missed something, but I don't think we ever heard about him getting all these explosives this whole time, or else everyone should have been a lot more concerned.
I mean, it was talked about that the guy that got crushed in the car ran this transglobal organization,
yes.
And all of their trucks were suddenly going out to visit nuclear facilities. And I was like, something's wrong here.
Okay, but then we're backing up a bit. The capsule that he got, he later uses that to get this creepy little spidery thing out in the UN.
And talking like, okay, of Doctor
so,
Who.
So you went to this lab in the middle of somewhere just to get, presumably, at least as far as we saw, to just get this spider thing, which doesn't do a whole lot.
While we're talking about the spiders, I think it is very interesting. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, but in the fact that in the second episode of New Captain Scarlet, you have a robot spider, and not probably 2 or 3 months later, in the second episode of New Doctor Who, there are also robot spiders. I think that's just a funny coincidence. But that's a minor niggle of mine. But New Captain Scarlet did it first, basically, is what I'm saying. So there you go. Anyway.
Didn't do much of the idea.
No, that's true.
It didn't really like
play
a big
part. Well, that's the thing. The whole
all.
Thing moves really fast, though. You think about how much happens in that, what was it, basically 45 minutes of show. You basically get a small movie out of it with... I mean, how many action sequences were there? There's, you know, the chase between Blue and Scarlet. There's
multiple.
The fighting the vampire jets. There's so much that goes on. It was incredibly ambitious. Now that I sit back and look at it, I'm like, that was so ambitious. Now, how much of that do you think purely came from the fact of going, these aren't puppets anymore?
Well, I think that's part of the reason why it works, really, in terms of, like, doing like, obviously the, like, sort of cartoony CGI animated aspect of it is less appealing generally than practical effects. Like, it doesn't look quite as amazing, but it allows them to do a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, they can blow up things on a very regular basis, basing
on
the two.
That never stopped Derek Meddings at all, but yeah. No, but, no, I know what you mean. It's more, for me, it's more about the fight sequences, because this was the first time.
Well, that too. You can have a walk around and it
exactly.
doesn't look funny.
So, this
anymore.
Was the first time that motion capture had been used on, at least on a television series at all. So there was very much a focus on getting movements as realistic as possible. Mm. I think it started out where they didn't use motion capture that much, and then by the end of the series, basically everything was done with motion capture. So they had actors you know, dressed up in the suits and, you know, performing all the movements, and that would get recorded onto a computer, and then that was mapped onto the CG characters. So
I did not know that.
The movements all come across.
I can't believe I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, there you go. But it's one of the reasons why the series costs so much money to produce. But yeah, it was... So they made 26 episodes of New Captain Scarlet in total. Obviously you haven't seen the whole series, but, essentially it was basically, although I think it was all produced kind of in one lump, they broadcast it, and broadcast is a loose term, they broadcast it over the course of two series where they split it up into two 13 episode chunks. And there was talk, you know, that they'd set up this animation studio and they were gonna go on to make... You know, Jerry wanted to make new Thunderbirds in the same style. Given the new Thunderbirds series that we now have, do you like what we have so far? We might as well talk about Thunderbirds. I'll go a little bit. Would you have preferred Jerry's take on new Thunderbirds based on what you've seen with new Captain Scarlet, or do you like Thunderbirds? I'll go. Obviously, this is pure conjecture, but you know,
I haven't seen too much of Thunderbirds. I'll go. But I do think that it's done quite well. I think, I mean, obviously I don't know how much Jerry had to do with New Captain Scarlet in terms of like changing things, and
he was
making decisions like putting Captain Black and Captain Scarlet in, you know,
I mean,
Mars
it definitely
together.
Would have had his approval.
Yeah, because if he had the same sort of attitude going to Thunderbirds, I think it would have been quite good as well. I think the problem with Thunderbirds being his like biggest success though could have put a lot of pressure on him to sort of not mess it up, but also to change things a little bit but not too much, because that's what worked the first time. Whereas I think, well, I mean we don't know because we don't have it, do we? Thunderbirds Ergo is quite good. I enjoy the combination of practical effects and CGI. They're very short episodes. I don't think they do as good of a job of fitting as much in as New Captain Scarlet does within their time frame. But, you know, those stunts and everything are pretty spectacular. Yeah. So yeah. I appreciate the efforts being made to do sort of fix both worlds, to have the pretty world and effects and everything, but also to have the characters be immovable and not quite so finicky and look more realistic. I mean, realistic in the sense that they can like walk and not sort of float in the air a bit and wave their legs around.
Okay, so I think I've covered it. Were there any questions you wanted to ask me about New Captain Scarlet? Anything that you're like, why was that done that way, or what's this, or who said that, or whatever?
I don't think particularly, but I did find it quite funny that vehicle graveyard said rest in peace. I thought that was like the funniest part of the
that
whole episode.
Was, I can guarantee that's a Jerry pun. Apparently, so this funny. Was interesting. We were just at the Super Celebration Fanderson convention, and I attended a workshop with Dominic Lavery, and we were talking about Dominic Lavery was the concept art director on New Captain Scarlet, and he also worked on the Thunderbirds movie as well. And it was just he said that specifically the line, was it Dominic that said this, or did I hear this somewhere else? It might have been on a Jerry Anderson podcast that I might have heard this actually, but the the line where Captain Black says, This is a shortcut. I'm cutting short your life. That was Jerry's line. He insisted that that be in there. And then, oh no, so this is what Dominic Lavery said. He said that that character was based on Jerry and his...
Captain Black was?
No, not Captain Black, okay, the guy he kills.
Like, wait, what?
So I thought that was interesting and just...
He seems more like Lou Grade. Is that his name?
Lou Grade, yes, I suppose there are comparisons with Lou Grade as well.
That's
how I
imagine it, based on, you know, what we've heard from Jerry and everything about him.
Oh, that's interesting. But yeah, no, apparently that was the case. But yeah, no, I think we've more or less covered everything. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else I can think of. So, if you had to give it a score out of 10, obviously, this will become easier as we do more shows, but... New Captain Scarlet, score out of 10, what would you give it?
Assuming 10 is best.
Yes.
You never know. I don't know, I'd probably give it like a 5?
5?
Yeah.
It's... Okay. Wow.
Right in the middle there.
Okay, putting New Captain Scarlet right in the middle. So
I have to put something in the middle so somewhere to work
you're
around.
You're assuming that some things are going to be better than it then?
Yes.
So what are you looking forward to?
Well, as we sort of discussed at the very beginning, I'm quite looking forward to Terrahawks. Terrahawks is my favorite.
That's interesting.
I like the funny things.
Okay.
But yeah, it was, I mean, it's quite good. You know, and I think it's smart how it's done and everything. And I know there's stuff that I like significantly less than it, so...
Okay, all right, well, fair enough. Well, obviously, if you haven't seen New Captain Scarlet before...
Go and watch it!
Yeah, I would recommend it, even though apparently it only gets a 5 out of 10.
I thought it was generous!
Okay, so, yeah, you can pick up New Captain Scarlet on Blu-ray from Network. That was released not that long ago. It's definitely worth getting it on Blu-ray, because it does look great. I know we've said that the CGI hasn't aged that well, but for its time, and I think to appreciate the full scale and the ambition of the whole project, you really should try and watch it on Blu-ray. So,
and it does start to look better later on. And
it
as
does.
Well.
It does,
better. Really.
Yes. But yeah, otherwise, you can follow us on Facebook it's actually at Unofficial Jerry Anderson Blog on Facebook, but. If you just look up Security Hazard, you'll find us there. I'm also on Twitter at Security Hazard. Catherine, are you on Twitter? I don't even... Yes, you are, but you don't want people following you. You're not really talking about anything Jerry Anderson related,
are you?
No, you'll
find me very boring, I promise you.
All right, and then if you want to get in touch at all, you can contact us via the Security Hazard blog on either of those social media platforms, or we actually have an email address that I set up, which is...
I didn't know this.
Yeah, so it's sec.hazard.pod@gmail.com. Yeah, I know.
What does that stand for? Oh,
Security Hazard Podcast. Yeah. The reason why it's that abbreviated is that apparently Gmail does not allow you to put the word security into an email address.
That's interesting.
I know. I was like, okay, so it's sec.hazard.pod@gmail.com if you want to email us with anything at all. But otherwise,
comments and questions.
Not too many suggestions. but maybe
a different podcast we could do another time.
Yeah, but next time, we don't know what we'll be watching next time. That's part of the fun of it. But we definitely won't be watching New Captain Scarlet. That is done. We will be moving on to another series or standalone pilot episode. So look forward to that, and we will see you next time. Say goodbye, Catherine.
Bye.
Goodbye.